In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Seated. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Today's gospel reading, we find a collection of parables which highlight the different characteristics of the kingdom of heaven. The parables of the mustard seed and the leaven denote the potentialities and the possibilities they possess for growth and influence disproportional to their diminutive size and insignificant beginning. Through the parables of hidden treasure and fine pearl, Jesus tells his disciples how valuable the kingdom of heaven is and how important it is for them to embrace it despite its enormous cost. The last parable of the fishing net that brought a huge and indiscriminate catch of fish to the shore is similar in its message to the parable of the wheat and wheat that we discussed last week. It talks about the inclusivity of good and evil throughout its earthly existence, and in the end, God will make the judgment as to who, what is good and what is bad. Since we already touched upon that topic last week, let's just focus on the other four parables. Jesus used the medium of parables to teach and preach. All of Jesus' parables had to do with the situations that were real and common to the life of the first century people living in Palestine. By using examples of the instances from people's daily life, the day-to-day life, Jesus was not only able to communicate with them the great truths about the kingdom of God, but was also able to lift up and affirm the value of their work and their daily reality. In order to fully grasp how these parables must have touched the people and spoke to the early church, we need to understand their reality in relation to the larger society they were part of in the first century. Early Christian community was small. They were constantly harassed and persecuted for their beliefs. In the socio-economic and political arena, they wielded no power, and they were too insignificant even to be counted. The Christian community to whom Matthew wrote this gospel was aware of their smallness, their smallness, and their insignificance. They were embarrassed and about themselves, and they suffered from some sort of inferiority complex. Perhaps it is no wonder the main objects of all the parables Jesus is telling to them are small in size and can be easily hidden. Jesus was telling them through these parables that small is beautiful, small is mighty, small is enormously valuable. The kind of claims Jesus was making about the kingdom of God seemed so unattainable in the light of the present size and the status of their community. The imagination stretching and the presupposition challenging parables of the mustard seed, the leaven, the hidden treasure, and the fine pearl teetered on the ridiculous and absurd. To start with, the big tree growing from a mustard seed is like those comic card illustrations of a farmer with a gargantuan tomato strapped to the back of a flatbed truck. The lone woman working with such massive amount of flour 3 measures of flour is equivalent to 1 1/8 of a bushel, or about 80 pounds of flour. It has to be crazy, or she is working for the Wonderbird Bakery in Palestine. Here's a modern analogy to these parables. The kingdom of heaven is like a preacher who preached every Sunday to a congregation of 25 people in a city of 2 million people. The preacher kept on preaching until the whole city believed in the gospel. We get that, right? The parables of the hidden treasure and the fine pearl, found only in the Gospel of Matthew, and it focused on the infinite value of God's kingdom. Imagine your small, insignificant, and disparaged community being compared to a treasure or a fine pearl of infinite value. Imagine how the members of this community must have received this parable. Just imagine belonging to a community of infinite value. You know, today to join a local country club, it would cost you thousands of dollars and probably years of waiting. And to belong to this community is almost like having a fine pearl of great, great value. These parables of fine pearl and hidden treasure were telling the members of early Christian community they were part of a community that has enormous value. It would cost you everything, wealth, power, reputation, and even life itself. Through these parables, Jesus is telling the Christian communities a representation of the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven. Despite their smallness in size and status or insignificance in society, they have the potential and the possibilities of enormous growth and influence in their society. And this is very affirming to that community. Despite their status, now as a devalued and mocked and harassed and persecuted community of people, they are enormously valuable. These parables of Jesus, as I read it every time, I'm increasingly convinced that Jesus is talking about St. Peter's, or Jesus had St. Peter's in mind, or St. Peter's, or churches like St. Peter's, or communities like St. Peter's, small communities of faith. They are meant to affirm the potentials and the possibilities of local Christian communities. They are meant to affirm their enormous value in building up of the kingdom. Aren't these parables talking about us, about our little faith community, which we call St. Peter's? You know, when our community, this church, began 179 years ago, in 1838, even before our town of Phoenixville was formed, established, which was, I think it was 1850, until then it was called Manavan, the town of Manavan. And it was in 1850, Phoenixville was established, and our church was established even before that. At that time, it was a tiny mustard seed community. It was insignificant, like a little leaven. However, over the years, it grew in size and stature. It has a long history of community engagement. It assisted other religious organizations in their time of need. St. Peter's. St. Peter's acted as the Red Cross headquarters during World War I, and it served as a place of fellowship for U.S. Army and women, Army men and women stationed at the U.S. Army Hospital during World War II. It is believed that St. Peter's established the first Boy Scout troop in 1907, and that the first Boy Scout in the U.S. was a member of St. Peter's Church. Like the tiny lump of leaven makes the entire mass of dough rise, today our little church's mission and engagement is helping germinate a new and dynamic reality in Phoenixville and beyond. Remember, it is our church that helped healthcare accessible to hundreds of people who otherwise wouldn't have it next door, our clinic. It is our church that helped build a low-income housing for the elderly next door. It is our church that helped food accessible to hundreds of people who would otherwise go hungry. Every day of the week at lunchtime, the Smith Room downstairs is buzzing with people who come here for sit-down lunch in a community setting. We are known in the community as an LGBTQ-friendly church and as a safe place for migrants and undocumented people. We are a church that works with Christosol organization in El Salvador, who fights for the human rights of the displaced people of Central America. The parables of the hidden treasure or a fine pearl of great value also apply to our little community of faith. Just as a collector of that value's treasure would come upon, or a jeweler would value a fine pearl which he acquires, St. Peter's Church is a hidden treasure. It's a fine pearl of great value to someone who values to being a member of a progressive faith community where faith really matters and where faith is lived out. How do we see St. Peter's? We ourselves, how do we see it? Do we value our church? Do we see this place call us forward in ministry and mission to the cutting edges? In our first lesson from Genesis, we read how much Jacob valued Rachel and her beauty. Her eyes were so graceful, Jacob said. And he wanted her so badly. And he worked for 14 years. He slaved under Laban for 14 years to have her as his wife. So that's the value that he gave to Rachel. In our second lesson from Romans, we read how much Paul valued the love for Christ. Let us listen in his own words. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now let me ask all of us, how much do we value our faith and our community in which we practice our faith? What would we risk for something that we are passionate about? The price you would pay for something we are passionate about is directly proportional to the value we ascribe to it. So let us think about it and reflect on it this morning. Are we passionate about our faith? And are we passionate about our church, our little faith community?